Firstly, I would like to thank Catherine and other organizers for inviting me to talk here. My lab has been working for rice genome sequencing for many years, and we try to understand the genetic diversity in the rice cultivars. But in the last few years, we developed a few methods to do the genotyping, and also we also tried to work on the genome-wide associated mapping study. I just tried briefly to talk on the genotyping a strategy we developed, which was published last year. And we believe people, you already know here, for the rice genetic study, the people prefer to use the biparental cross-population to work on the positional cloning. And another approach called association mapping could be a very powerful approach as well. But both of the approaches depend on the detection of the high-density SNP markers. And we use the rice recombinant inbreed line as samples and try to develop a high throughput genotyping method. And we use the selector technology because usually in the public database, there are quite a lot of the SNP data was generated between Indica and the Japonica reference genomes. And we believe if we can directly sequence individual the population lines, we can detect more SNPs, then we can identify the recombination breakpoint, then we can construct the high density the genetic map. So this is an example here. If we use the direct sequencing technology, we can detect more SNP data, then we can map, we can work on the genetic mapping. And the technology we use, we call the barcoded sequence technology, because for rice genome, the total, the genome size is about 400 megabases. So we thought we could mix the about 500 genomic the DNA together in the single sequencing run, single Illumina select run. The strategy is simple. You know, if we have we design a unique tag marker in the adapter, then we can ligate the individual adapter to individual genomic DNA. Then if we detect the unique tag, we can identify individual the genomic sequence. This is a pipeline we use. When we get the raw sequence data, the first thing we have to align to the reference genome, and also both to both parental genome. One is the Japonica Nippon Berry, one is the 9311 Indica sequence, because we construct the inbreed line between the Indica and Indica 9311 and the Japonica Nippon Berry. And both the pseudo molecule sequence are already constructed, so this makes things easy. We individual reels can be aligned to both pseudo molecule sequence. And the most important thing is try to determine the breakpoint, because this will be very helpful for increase the resolution for genetic map. Okay. This example, when we get we did a sequence at a very low coverage sequence, is less than 1x coverage for each genome. You will see here, there are the PCR-based the genotyping, we could identify the Indica background, Indica the fragment, also Japonic fragment. But it's difficult to measure, the recombination breakpoint. We introduce a slight window size. We usually use 15 SNPs as a window size to measure the Indica SNP or Japonic SNPs. When the SNP read of the Indica was to Japonica changed to 1-to-1, that could be the breakpoint. That's what we what we believe in. So you will see the PCR based market is difficult to map the size, the breakpoint size close to the real the breakpoint, but our sequence based can provide clearly the you know the resolution. There is some the double cross over the region could be missed by when you use a conventional PCR markers, PCR method, PCR based the SSR marker based the mapping, but for the sequence based technology can be detected easily. And this is a summarized because when we generated the Indica Japonica, the two parental line genetic generated more than 300 the individual lines, then we can detect easily for each of the individual reels. And I would like to mention here, even for some of the heterozygous region, we can be detected. We use indicated here as the yellow colors. And we also tried simulation. We for F2 population, for other integration lines can be detected as well. But this method already published last year. More importantly, we introduced the recombination beans as a unit to for the genetic mapping. This example, like here, we have the five individual lines, we can generate more than eight in the beans. But this in total, we detect about more than 5,000 recombination breakpoint, and we constructed the recombination beans more than 2,300. So we did use this map to try to identify some QTLs, and I'm not going to talk on the details on this. Someone already published recently. And that's what we believe the conventional PCR-based genotyping with the sequence-based genotyping. We believe the sequence-based genotyping is cost-efficiently and also could provide high resolutions. And of course, it saves a lot of time. Usually, for the 300 the individual lines population, we can finish the genotyping within 2 weeks. Okay. Next, I would like to talk on the genome-wide association studies. And we tried to sequence more than 600 rice land races genome. Then we also do the phenotyping. We tried to identify a few the QTLs. And why do we work on the association mapping in the rice? Because we believe that this study could provide a high mapping resolution, and also we can identify more alleles for the complex trait. And also this information can be directly used for plant breeding. And usually for the GWAS study, we have to select a larger collection of the diverse rice cultivars. Secondly, we have to develop an efficient method to detect the detect snippets from individual the cultivar genomes. And thirdly, we have to construct a high density of a haplotype map. And eventually, we tried to do the association mapping and using the tag SNPs. And when we started this study, the Dr. Weigels and his colleague already proposed the 1,001 genome rhabdopsis genome project. We are doing similarly way, and also we believe in the rice genetic study, the people prefer to use the positional cloning the technology, and we believe the GWAS could provide another approach to identify, to evaluate more alleles at any given lot size. Okay, we tried to, initially, we collected the rice cultivar from the China, because in China there were huge the collections, we have the collaborator They are working the Rice Research Institute in China. And also, we also tried to work with some international collaborator to sequence more rice cultivars. Okay. And the strategy is quite simple. We firstly, selected the gene rice cultivar. We have to do resequencing. And I would like to mention here, we still try to use the low coverage sequence technology because we believe because of the rice cultivar, they are quite, you know, we did a compare sequence that did a deeper sequencing for a number of the rice cultivar. We found that there are quite, you know, the similarity between the rice genome are quite high. And also because the linkage disequilibrium, the block is quite long. So based on the similarity of the LD blocks, we can infer some of the missing genotypes using the low coverage sequencing data. I will talk later on. And for the snippet detection, because we already generating more than 10 reference genome sequence like Indica japonica, so we could compare the sequence, align the sequence to the reference genome. Okay, the hard work is to do the phenotyping, the field work. Fortunately, I have the team to work with Qifa's lab, with Chen Qian's lab in China. So they did a lot of field work for us. In China, there are more than 50,000 rice collections. And because China is one of the center for the rice domestications, and also China looks from northern China and east southern of China, the geographic distribution is we get some of the rice cultivars from different you know regions, so this provide some the good the diverse of quite a good genetic diversity of this rice cultivar. But it's still difficult to select the you know representative the rice cultivar to sequence. So we believe that the first thing we have to we based on the morphology and the grain quality traits, and secondly, we think we consider it about the geographic distributions for each cultivar, and thirdly, we also consider any resident phenotypes, including biotic or abiotic stresses, tolerances, the phenotypes. And this, based on this, the three, you know, the aspect that we selected, eventually we selected more than 600 the cultivars from the Chinese the collections. And those cultivars looks, this is a geographic distribution. It looks, see, the most of the rice is we collected from the southern of China. The blue line indicated the Yangtze River area. So, but the southern China is a rice growing area, but northern China usually the most the major crop is about the wheat, spring or winter wheat, the growing area. So that looks the distribution, geographic distribution is good. And we also green up all the collected cultivar in the same region in the Hangzhou and also in the Hainan Island in southern China. And we did a phenotyping together. Those phenotypes doesn't like, do not like the lighter the rice cultivar. Look at the panicles and also the plant height is totally different with the elite the cultivar. But we are quite happy with the diverse phenotypes. Okay, when we do the we still use the barcoded sequence technology. We sequence 1x for each genome. So in total, for the 500 genome, we like this, we detect From the 363 Indic Japonic land races, we detect more than 6 million SNPs. But if we remove some singleton SNPs, so the total number reduced to 3.6 million. But the accuracy increased from 92% to the almost 98%. So we believe that this data, you know, the 3.6 million SNPs could be reliably, could be used for the GWAS. And I mentioned earlier, if you do 1x sequencing for each genome, the more than 66% of the genome could be missing. Only 34% can be SNP can be detected. So we develop a method called the imputation method. We can compare all the sequence genome together. If we identify some region conserved, we can use the detected SNP to infer the missing region for another genome. I think there is another, and also the sequence accuracy, they still will remain at a very high accuracy. So recently, when the paper published last week in the Genetics, Dr. Clark gave a very good comment, and I would like to use his slide. This is a figure to explain what means the imputations. The uppercase of the letters means directly detected by our sequencing, but the lowercase of the letter means inferred the genotype. So based on this technology, so we could construct the genotype that covered more than 99% of the genome. So that's what strategy we use. And based on the SNP data, we also did the phylogeny study. We found that most of the rice cultivars we collected belong to the Indica groups, and only the small group belong to the Japonica group. There were some intermediate cultivar could be caused by integration between the Indica and the Japonica. And we also found that Indica cultivar has much more the polymorphism than Japonica. So that's why for the genome-wide association study, we choose the Indica group for the GWAS. Okay, even for the Indica, in the Indica group, we still can identify some the subgroups, the three subgroups. You can see those groups, the subgroup three is located, far more northern than other two groups in China. So this information is very important for the genome-wide associated mapping. And Japonica as well. We also can classify the Japonica group into the small, to the three subgroups as well. And we also identify the locations of each of the cultivars. And we did the phenotype for all the sequence that rice cultivars. We focused on the four major the phenotype. First, we classify as a morphological phenotype and yield related component like the grain length and grain weight. And for the morphology, the phenotype, including the tiller number and the leaf angle and the tiller angles. And for the grain quality related the phenotype, like the amylose content, and also we identify a number of the color-related the phenotype. Some physiological the phenotype is we get from the other, from the Chen Chen's lab. He did all of this data, he did all the phenotype for us. Okay, when we get the phenotype the data, we did the genome-wide association study. We found that for some traits, is clearly there is a strong signals detected along the chromosomes. So this is the data show here for the C1, the gene, and control the apical colors. And there is clearly, there is a signal in the chromosome 6. And there is another signal, strong signal in the on the chromosome 11. And also RC1 gene can be detected on chromosome 7. Okay, this is detailed information. And for the amylase content, we detect two signals. It's very strong, with very high the negative log 10 p-values. And also for the heading data, for the heading data is very complicated. There looks like too many noisy, too much strong the background. And this is, could be difficult to detect. And this is a detailed information. For example, for the C1 gene, our tag signal very close to the knowing the C1 gene. The C1 gene was closed for many years, has been closed for many years by other lab. And for the VEX gene, our tag SNP, the strong tag SNP, just closer to the candidate gene. The green box indicated the annotated the candidate genes. For the RC gene as well, the GS3 gene cloned by Chifa's lab, we can see it's very close to the strong signal, the tag SNP, the indicated site. So this looks like from our GWAS genome-wide association study, we provide higher resolutions for mapping the candidate gene for the 14 traits we phenotyped. Okay, this is a detailed information that we, like for telomere, we identify the three sites located the chromosome 4, 9, 10, and only for the, the grain length, we detected more than five of the sites. We already provided the candidate allele, the major allele, the information here, and also only one known gene, GS3, identified a few years ago, but the other candidate region can be further confirmed by transgenic study. And for other traits as well, we provided the detailed information here. But as I know, for some region, our mapping information already overlapped with the people work on the by using positional cloning as approaches. And for the next step, we still try to sequence more to collect more rice cultivar or rice landrace to sequence. And we also try to work with the international collaborator to get a more international rice cultivar to sequence, because we believe that these international varieties could provide more genetic polymorphism. And Dr. Ed Buckler reviewed, this is a slide I get from Dr. Ed Buckler. Like the positional cloning still is a very good, very powerful the method for cloning the gene. But we believe the association mapping study could save time and also could provide similarly the resolution for the mapping candidate gene. But the more the numbers are needed for the GWAS. And I would like to summarize here. For our GWAS study, we constructed a high-density haplotype map in rice. So this could be very useful for the future study for mapping the gene and for cloning. Secondly, we detected more than 3.6 million SNPs in the rice cultivars. And suddenly we tried to do the GWAS for the 14 agronomic trait. And the six known gene, are quite closely, closer to our mapping the site. So this looks like provided some information, sure, our mapping resolution could be very high than what we expected before. And the fourth, we integrated the log coverage sequencing technology with the GWAS. So we believe this could be used for a powerful strategy for dissecting the complex traits in rice. Finally, I would like to say for some traits like the flowering time, we definitely need to integrate our data with some of the cross populations. And that looks like very complicated because we detect the, we map the site, we couldn't find any overlapped the known gene site overlapped with our mapping site. So this needs more time to work on, to work after. Finally, I would like to thank my people in the National Center for Gene Research, based in Shanghai. I have the data analysis group and the genome sequence group, and also a small group work on the phenotyping and the functional analysis. Professor Qifa Zhang and Dr. Li Jiayang working closely with my lab, and Chen Qian and Wei Xinhua provide all the rice cultivars to us. And they are also working on the phenotyping and the field work. And Dr. Ed Buckler in Cornell University, he provided his new model called a compressed model for us. Because we use a simple model, both simple model and a compressed model for the genome-wide association study. So our funding is from the, I would like to mention, Professor Tao Sun from Michigan State University, he's a major contributor to this study. So our funding is from the Chinese Academy of Science and also the National Natural Science Foundation of China. Okay, thank you very much.
We have time for some questions for Ben. What proportion of the heritability were you able to explain with your significant associations across the rough loop?
Sorry, I, pardon?
If you added all your significant associations for each of your traits, roughly what proportion of the heritability were you able to explain?
Okay. For the do the phenotype for many traits, but for this study, I just select 14 the traits. It looks like give the clearly signals, and also we get the data for the at least three season, three places data, but for some other phenotype data. We still have to do the, we have to re-phenotype it. But I believe if the field work, we could repeat it well, then we do the social mapping, we could get the reliable the data. But for this 14 trade, we choose. We did choose some, for some, trade for the association studies.
So you made a choice between picking land races versus picking, elite materials, right?
Yes.
Study. Still happy with that decision based on some of the phenotypic, challenges with phenotyping land races versus phenotyping more elite materials?
That's right, yeah. That's a good question. But in China, we are also working on some of the elite the cultivars. But when we do the roughly sequence, we found most of the individual the cultivars that looks like the has a very high homology, similarity based on genome sequence analysis. We already sequenced more than 1,000 cultivars in China. We selected 300 more. To add to these studies, and that's what we believe. Because in China, they were use a different name of the elite cultivar, but they didn't provide the pedigree, the information. So that's why initially we chose the land races. So.
Thank you. And why is the QDL study only going on? And I don't know the center. made up of the same trait, and that the associate map, you identify, I mean, is it aligned with those to those people that they are studying?
Yes, we did. The Chifa, I working with the Chifa already mapped more than 100 QTLs, and we provide our information to his lab. We also found some that looks our mapping result is quite in the very high, very good agreement with his mapping result. Yeah. So this data when we the detailed information that in the figures, in the tables I showed here, we provided him the more detailed information to his lab. He is quite happy with our mapping result.
There's another question.
Okay, these devices, before you use the device to do the computation, it's kind of make me thinking that because the device we do with LD mapping is based on LD.
Yes.
When you do imputations, you also based on haplotype frequency and LD.
Yeah.
Kind of, either enhance the signal or, weaken the signal by that imputation process. What I mean, like to see is for those genes or loci where you have a strong signal match the previously identified gene, it might be helpful to do a test without imputation or with different levels of frequency of imputation to show that those signals not enhanced or reversed by the imputation process, which is also based on LD prediction.
Yes.
I don't know what you think about this.
Yeah, that's a good question. But the LD decay the blocker is very long in the rice. It's very bad for the GWAS, for the genome-wide social mapping study, because it provided a very low resolutions for mapping the candidate gene. But it's good for doing the imputation, because that is true. The historical recombination event is very, the frequency is very low in rice. So for the phylogenetic study, which is just based on the SNP we detect directly without any without the imputations. But for the GWAS study, we have to try to fill the genotype. We tried to increase the genome, the coverage of the genotype into the close to 100% of the coverage. But if the randomly sequencing, A1X coverage sequencing, it just covered about 40% of the genome. So it is not good for the genome, for the GWAS study. But I believe that we did some simulations. We found that does not help very much if we just do the deep sequencing of each genome. We sequence more than 40 genomes. That looks like they provide similarly the genotypes. Give the what the advantage?
My parental process that you want to make in your analysis.
Okay. You mean the parental, by use the parental line to cross? Yeah. The usually, for some of the complex traits, could be difficult by using two parental lines cross populations, but you have to have the significant different the phenotypes to do the cross. But for our approaches, we can be another approach to work on the meaning that maybe could be the minor, effect of the allelic variations to identify the candidate genes. But I believe that if we could integrate two approaches, it'd be good for dissecting, some complex traits.
Actually had one question also. You showed the real map, and I don't know what the marker density was, but thousands, I presume, in that real. But when you went to the land races in that survey, how many loci did you actually get, and then how many did you have to impute?
You mean for the genotyping the?
The land races.
For the land races.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you add more land races in, you sort of get probably fewer and fewer loci.
Yeah.
Actually, empirically, assay.
Yeah, I believe the to increase the more land races won't be helpful very much, but the SNP density is very high. It's almost about the 3 SNPs in the per kb. So in the rice we detected. So it's good. It looks good enough to do the to construct the HAP map, because in the rice we found that there was a the LD decays block is very long. So if we increase the, if you add more the land races, or if they do the deeper sequence, that won't be helpful very much.
Yeah, so I guess I was just curious how good of coverage your GWAS was. Yeah. It looks like it was pretty good then.
Okay, yes.
Okay. One more question.
You have to do all this 5,000, more entries. You have chosen the only 300 number.
Yeah.
You want to do rest of
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think the 1,000 could be is many enough. I mentioned that most of the accession that collected could be the same population that collected many times. So I believe based on the sequence data, we believe 1,000 could be many enough for identify Chinese the rice polymorphism.
Okay, let's thank Ben again.
Okay, thank you.